Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Kelly Harris. I'd like to welcome you all for calling in or downloading this program later, Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus Ministries, Radio Episode 78. I welcome you all for calling in. My friends, what we're going to be doing tonight, we're going to be reading... We're going to be reading John, the third chapter, and we're going to be reading 1 through 21. But before we begin, let us all pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, today, Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, we pray that the words that come out of my mouth will be your words, not my Lord, that the people listening will understand what you want them to know and want them to hear, Lord. So we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus said to him, are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen and do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one is ascending to heaven but he who has come down from heaven, that is the Son of Man, who is in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Commendation that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes in the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they may have been done in God. You see what I'm saying, my friend? Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus about being born again. What is being born again? Well, you know that being born again, you cannot enter your mother's womb again. So any of you out there, especially calling yourselves Christians, who have fallen into the trap of reincarnation, right there, being born again, you're not going to be alive again to live your life over and over and over, going through your mother's womb again, over and over and over. Okay? If reincarnation is so, the Lord would have said it was so. But that is not so. We do not die and come back a new person as somebody else. No, that is not so. However, what is being born again is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, being baptized through His Holy Spirit and by the water when you are baptized in. From there, you change your ways. You are now a new creature in Jesus Christ. You're now a different person, which means you do not do the old things that you used to do. Okay? You do not do evil things. You do not, if you were once in witchcraft, you do not go back to witchcraft. If you were a medium and thought you were talking to the dead, but you really were talking to demons, you do not go back to talk to those demons. Because now you're a new creature in Jesus Christ. And now you have the Holy Spirit within you. You do not do things that grieve the Spirit, which is in you, that is the Holy Spirit. You do things that please the Lord. You live according to His will, to His way, the way He wants you to live. Because through Jesus Christ, He brings your freedom and happiness and a peace of mind. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ wants for you and I. He doesn't want you and I to continue in the old way that we used to go in. The old way led us to death. The old way led us to being miserable. The old way led us to not being trustworthy. The old way led us to always be known as a thief, a liar, a whoremonger, a magician, anything that is out there. But why don't you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? Your spirit is born again because you are now intertwined with the Holy Spirit. So your sins are now washed clean. Now some of you may ask, what about the person that backslides? You know what I think? Why some people backslide? And it has nothing to do, and you cannot blame Jesus for someone backsliding. I think why someone could backslide is because of what is added in some Christian denomination churches. Religion. Say that again. Religion makes us backslide. Christ does not. Why would Jesus want you to backslide? I think so many people backslide is because of what their church is teaches them about their own tradition. They sort of fall into the trap the way the Pharisees and most of the Sanhedrin, like the Sadducees, were teaching the people who were the Jews. Religion got into their faith where they began not teaching the Torah, they began teaching from the Talmud. And through that, they began adding things to it, and all of a sudden, the Word of God was gone. All of a sudden, their interpretation of how you would be saved would come about. And many people who add their own little interpretation to Scripture can lead to confusion within the church. That is why I believe you will have people backsliding the church. If you keep on telling people that once you become a Christian, it's okay to live flesh and okay to sin. Well, according to what we read in the Bible and according to what the apostles have written, we're not supposed to be doing that. We are now a new creature in Jesus Christ. in 1 John, he tells us, by walking in the Spirit, we do know him. But if we walk in the flesh, we do not. So when you get a false teaching telling you that you can't help it, but you still have that you still have to sin, yes, you will backslide. If you teach a little gospel about not wanting to sin, why you shouldn't want to sin, but you won't want to be, you want to encourage people to walk by the Spirit, you won't sin at all because you know the facts, because you're growing in Jesus Christ. It was a mistake, I would say, in the 4th century when Constantine organized Christianity. I say this is because when he organized Christianity, by making it into a state religion, one thing, when it would happen eventually, people were forced to either worship Jesus or be thrown in jail or die. Jesus didn't tell anyone to force people to follow him, did he not now? Put a sword against someone's throat and make them follow me or kill them or arrest them. Never said that. Jesus wants you to come to him freely. He doesn't want you to be forced to come to him. Another thing that happened within the church around the 4th century under Constantine, when people were not allowed to read Scripture at all. The only people who were allowed to read Scripture were the priests. And some of them were so illiterate, they didn't know the word themselves. And you see how religion can things around, and people begin thinking of God differently than what he really is. When people put religion right into the truth, they have no idea what being born again is. In fact, they think they're born again, yet they think of themselves as the same sinner that they once were. I believe in God, I was baptized, so therefore I'm still a sinner, and I'm still an adulterer. I still cheat on my wife. I still practice black magic. I still talk, I'm a medium. I still talk to the dead. It doesn't work that way. You have to give that all that up, and I can understand why you would believe that, because we could credit the Protestant Reformation under Luther that he got the ball started to help individuals begin reading the Word of God again. However, by adding theology to our faith at times, can actually turn people away from what God says and into the theological way, which our theological ideas become more important to what God has said. And you can see why many people get confused with what their church denomination teaches, because their religious theological beliefs that become more important to them than the Word of God. When they start watering down Scripture and telling you it's okay to still live a sinful life and be a Christian. Now, Jesus did come for the sinners. I agree with, but he wanted them to, because once upon a time, I sin, you sin, and everybody else sin. But he wanted us to know him. To know him is accept him, and once you accept him, you want him to lead you through his Holy Spirit into being perfect as the Heavenly Father is perfect. Right? He didn't want us to keep on doing what we were doing because he knew that sin can lead to death. Jesus knew the chain of sin kept us slaves to sin, kept us slaves to the devil. But Jesus did not want you and I to be slaves of that sin that is the devil. Because that's what sin is. It's slavery to the devil. And he doesn't want you and I to be that same slave. So he freed us from that. See, when you add religion to that and you think you have to do certain things, you begin falling away. And I do believe that's why you have Christians who believe in their theological positions in their church to easily backslide. Then pay attention to what the Lord teaches us and what his apostles taught us. And we just listen to what the apostles taught us through the Holy Spirit that Jesus wanted to kept on teaching them to teach us what to do, we wouldn't have a problem with backsliding within the church. Amen? Because the fact of it is, once we are delivered from sin, we are now a Christian and growing process. We keep on growing by faith. We do not go back to the old sin that separated us from God. We keep on moving forward. And we every day we keep on moving forward to please our Father in heaven. Okay? That's what he wants from you and I. But let's not get to our theological idea. Yes, God can give us the gift to speak in tongues. Say that if someone doesn't speak in tongues, is not saved, we're falling into the trap of religion when we point that out. We have to think about this. That we are, when we first become saved through Jesus Christ, we are a child again, spiritually, and we're growing, and we are a creature now that's growing in progress now. Sort of like going to school. When you go to school, you learn. Same thing. So to say, because you're more mature than someone else who in Christ, and you say, well, they're not really saved because they don't speak in tongues like me, or they cannot prophesy like me, or cannot preach like me, and cannot do all the things in me. In fact, you're becoming like a Pharisee saying that, because remember one of Jesus' stories when the Pharisee came up and prayed to the Lord and told the Lord all the great things he was doing. But yet the sinner said, forgive me, Lord, for I'm a dreadful sinner. According to God's eyes, what Jesus said, it was that man who begged for forgiveness got the blessing. Did he not now? He received the answer that he wanted. He doesn't want you and I to be so braggadocious about our faith. He understands what we're doing and we're growing in Christ, right? We don't have to act like someone who is a growing in process, who has just become saved. We shouldn't say, well, if you don't speak in tongues, you're not really saved. Well, does it say that? No. Paul doesn't say that. Paul doesn't tell you and I that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. Right? The fact of it is, I do believe in speaking in tongues. I have spoken in tongues myself now. Thank God. But see, I had people pray over me in the church I go to at Bethel Fellowship, and they prayed over me. And it was an exciting experience because I felt chilled by the Holy Spirit, and my arms felt like there was electricity going around because my arms were moving, and it felt like someone was kicking my arms, but no one even touched me. And for you who walk by the Spirit, you understand what I'm talking about. And I began speaking in tongues because I wanted it. Now, does it mean that I'm better than someone who just became saved? And I'm now going to question them and say, well, you're not really saved because you don't speak in tongues? No, because you and the Lord have a special relationship, and the Lord's dealing with you as different as he does with me. And if you want to speak in tongues, yes, the Lord will give it to you. The Lord he wants to bless you and I. He wants to give you and I all his blessings. So, let us not add religion to our faith. Religion, as I mean by, is the theological traditions that we add within our church, and we say this is important, and we say we have to live by this standard, which we really should be living is by God's standard. And let's not judge one another as Christians. If we see a fellow Christian who cannot speak in tongues, well, pray for them. Maybe they eventually will. But the thing of it is, speaking in tongues is not a goal for their salvation. So their salvation is accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and allowing His Holy Spirit to live within Him and who cleanses them of their sin. That is salvation. Speaking in tongues is not salvation. Some of the argument the early church had about circumcision. Being circumcised does not bring you salvation, but having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ does bring you salvation. again, when we talk about religion coming in there, and I talk about people falling away, and I say that when people fall away, it's because of the burden that some churches add to Christians. For instance, again, going back to talking in tongues, that could chase a person away because a person may believe, well, I'm not really saved because, oh my goodness, I'm not speaking in tongues yet. Well, no, wait for it, okay? Don't worry about it. You're still saved, even though you may not be speaking in tongues. You may have the gift of, some of you may not have the gift of healing that God gives others. Well, that is okay. Don't worry about it, because that does not bring you salvation. Salvation, again. So don't go around thinking, oh my gosh, I am not saved. And another, but when I keep on, like, I can keep on going farther and on what religion does to our churches, but even telling somebody that we can still sin and still be part of the body of Christ. Well, the problem with that is, like, going back to the old sin, according to what John and even Jesus says, that by walking by the flesh still, we really don't know Christ at all, do we? And we're aiming ourselves into hell. And that's basically how people can get themselves in trouble and fall for this human theological ideas we put in the church that we think we can sin just a little bit and it'll be okay. But yet, when we sin, we hurt people. This could happen with the clergy. It could happen to a member of a church. With the clergy, we sometimes, well, clergy and people, I should say, who are a member of the church, we have people that have stolen money from the church. And usually they regret doing it when they're caught. But the first thing they should have been doing, when they had the temptation of doing it, they should have been rebuked by the Holy Spirit, but yet they didn't feel that rebuking. Why is that? Because of the theological ideas they had in their head to what God was telling them. And for them to steal money from the church thinking that, well, I'll pay it back somehow. Well, the money's partly mine because I pay into it. So I have every right to steal from the church. But what you're doing is you're stealing from God because when you give money to the church, you're giving it to God. And you're stealing from God when you do that. So when you hear about a pastor who may think that they have every right to steal the money from the church because they think this is their church and they started this church so they have every right to take that money, they're wrong. Because that ministry is not theirs, it is Jesus Christ's ministry that they're continuing his ministry with. They're not supposed to be using their Jesus' money for their own personal use. Or a treasurer of a church who takes money from the church and thinking that they'll pay it back, but they need the money for themselves at this time, God will understand. But yet again, you're stealing from God again. And why the preacher and the treasurer get exposed for doing this is because they're not listening to God, and God will allow them to be exposed and allow the world to know their sins right there before the world. So, to begin with, my friend, don't steal from the church if you are in charge of the church's money. Remember, that is not your money. It is the Lord Jesus Christ's money to continue his ministry upon this earth. That money could be given to someone who needed to have the food, who needed clothing. It was money to keep your church building open, to pay for the electricity inside your building. Do not steal from what is the Lord. You understand what I'm saying, my friends? So, according to people who say it's okay to sin, is this okay? Is stealing okay? As I recall, if you steal, you do get arrested. But see, as human beings, we have a little way of saying what's okay, what sins are okay, what sins are not. And I understand what people say, and when they're saying it's okay to sin, but you just can't help yourself, so go ahead and do it. They mean doing the things of the flesh about drinking alcohol a little bit, taking drugs a little bit, doing sexual immorality a little bit. According to the world, that's okay. But according to you, if you're using those kind of rules, shouldn't the rules be applied to the one who steals, to the one who murders? Couldn't a murderer or a thief say, well, I just couldn't help myself. You all said it was okay for me to sin, and I served in the good graces of the Lord Jesus Christ, so I stole. I stole from my neighbor. I stole from the church. I'm a thief. I'm a liar. So I'm okay with God, right? I'm a murderer. I murder people. But you all said I was okay to do that because I had this lust to murder people. So I must be okay with the Lord because you said so. See, my friend, that's how someone can be confused within the church and fall back to their old life. We need to get off this we can sin card because Jesus said we could do it. Jesus never told us we could sin when we follow him. In fact, you should recall, he told the people who sinned, who he came to go and sin no more. Did he not now? Remember, Zacchaeus, after meeting Jesus, remember he was a tax collector? He gave everything back to the people he cheated, did he not now? Because he changed of walking with the Lord. The Lord rejoices when we change because he wants us to be like him. He knows how a slave to sin could be. But he wants us to be better. And when he looks at you, he knows you to be a better person. And that's what he wants you to be by following him. You could be a better husband. You could be a better wife through Jesus Christ. And you can do it. Now, some of you may be, another thing I would say religion teaches us too in the church is that once you become a Christian, you'll never have a problem again. Well, that's not true. The apostles had problems. They were arrested many times, and many of them were put to death. But they never turned on Jesus, though, did they? Jesus had problems, though, did he not now? He was beaten and tortured, and eventually crucified. Or by a friend, two friends, I should say, and a bunch of friends. Judas, yes, betrayed him, but his other friends ran away. And Peter denied him three times. You think Jesus was pleased by that? No. But he forgave him just the same. If Judas would have had a little bit more faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he never would have hung himself. But he thought of himself as a person that can never be forgiven, and he took his own life. He could have had when Jesus arose from the grave if he had just waited and not have killed himself. What a ministry he would have had. But I'm saying, my friend, walk with the Lord when you're born again. You are clean. You are no longer that old sinner who you once were. Do not believe when people tell you that you could still sin in your life. You don't, because now you're living according to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're living his way. And you're helping people through Jesus Christ. And let Jesus Christ shower you with his blessings. And let that religion tell you how you should live. It's right here in the Bible how you should live. Read the Gospel of Christ. Read what the apostles have written. And live according to that, to the will. What are we reading here? What we're reading here is freedom. Freedom of sin. Freedom to know Jesus Christ. To be like and walk like him as he did on earth. Yes, we may always be perfect. But what I mean by that is not go back to the old sin. What I mean is sometimes we can do much better in teaching people about Jesus than we should do. Is what I mean. I'm not talking about going back to your old ways of being a gossip monger or a whoremonger or going into magic and going into all this other stuff that keeps you away from the Lord. But what I'm talking about is being better with Christ and trying to show people Christ through you. See what I mean? Because when we walk through Christ, then we have to grow, keep on growing. Some people may see a Christian and may think they're not saved, but see, that's the whole part of the process of growing. Because sometimes some people may be have a shy personality. And yes, Jesus will help them get out of that shot, the shyness, to get out of those walls they have, to get out of there. So let's not judge that shy person and say, well, we're not saved because I don't see them hollering and yelling every Sunday in church. Well, give them a chance. Let the Lord work on them. Pray for them. Don't question them. Don't question them, because when you start questioning somebody, even to their face about how they grow, you may cause them to fall. Don't cause them to fall. Bring them up. Help them up. Bring them with love and help them to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how you do it. Amen, my friends. Amen. My friends, we're going to stop here for tonight, but we'll continue on Thursday night. And my friends, just remember, always walk in the Spirit of the Lord. Follow His way. Find your church out there that teaches full gospel, that walks in the Holy Spirit. Do not go to a church that teaches you the theology and will cause you to fall away from hungry for the Lord and follow the Lord. And for you out there who are having trouble right now in your life, who are walking with the Lord, remember, we still live in a world that is evil out there. And there are evil people who can make us miserable at times and hurt our feelings. But the good news is you have brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who will pray for you. Remember, Jesus is walking with you at this time as you are going through this hard time in your life. Remember, in the book of Joseph, the Lord walked with Joseph as Joseph walked through a hard time in his life. He walked with David when David was being persecuted by Saul. He walked with all his people who had hard times. The Father in heaven walked with Jesus, even though Jesus was God himself upon the earth, but the Heavenly Father still walked with Jesus. It was with him when he was going through hard times. And he'll walk with you as you go through your hard time in your life. But there are evil people out there who will try to do things to persuade you to fall away from Christ, who hurt you in your own marriage. And the devil says, see, where is God now? But the Lord is with you. And if your spouse does something that hurts your marriage, that is the spouse's sin, not yours. You have to do what you can do to stay with Christ. If they refuse to follow Christ and treat you like dirt, stay with Christ. If they choose not to walk with Christ, you do what you can do for your family. You bring your family, and your church family will help you out and help you out with your family, because they pledge that pledge to you, because you dedicated your heart to Jesus Christ, and they will be with you in the name of Jesus Christ through this. And yes, we'll also pray for your spouse who is not walking with Jesus right now. We pray that he comes or she comes and finally find the Lord and be that person who the Lord wants them to be. But Jesus will be with you in the end. And the fact is, my point is, my friend, when you walk with Christ, everything works out for you in the end. And Jesus will be with you in the end. Sometimes a spouse may come back to you, a new creature in Christ. Sometimes it doesn't happen, but if it sometimes doesn't happen, just remember, the Lord has a good plan for you. Just walk with Him that he'll get you through this tough time, and things will get better for you in your life. Because you are Jesus' child. You are God's child. Through Jesus Christ, he sees you. He sees Christ in you. And he'll be with you during this tough time. But things will get better because Christ was there for you. And he promised, he said, he will be with you and I to the end of the age. And that promise he will keep. Remember that, my fellow brother and sister in Jesus Christ. Let us all pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that you died on the cross so we can be reborn through you, Lord Jesus Christ, and be born again, have a new life through you, Lord Jesus Christ, and live that new life through you, through happiness, Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who reigns forever. Amen and amen. My friends, remember, be with me on Thursday night. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless you all, and may you all walk in peace in Jesus Christ. And I say this in the name of Jesus. Amen.